Croeso, and welcome to Tales for Wales, the podcast that's the vodka to your soda, the rum to your cola, the tequila to your margarita! Arriba! And as ever, you're joined by your two boozy co-hosts, although this week we are sans booze. Me,
sadly,
the barman, no, Jack, the barman who doth pulleth, and the landlord, me, Frankie, because I'm going to be the landlord in this pub.
Okay, fair, in this little metaphor, yeah.
Welcome to another week. This week we'll be discussing the joys of the sweet, sweet nectar hearth, hindsell, or however they would say, himself. I'm trying to speak like an Edwardian, but not really pulling that off.
I was thinking hindself. Hindsell?
I'm trying to think of a gender-neutral word, so it wasn't him or her, and I went with hein.
So that was my... yeah, that's the new one. Fair enough.
Howdy, 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 howdy. All right, then. Come on, then.
How also, I did enjoy. I did enjoy when you went Margarita, la 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 la.
Margarita.
And it was very. It was like Dom. What's his name? Something Dalili Jamil.
Omidjalili.
The Mummy. Yeah. Omidjalili.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Mummy. And he goes, ala, ala.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Oh, I absolutely yeah. love. That's one of our. You know, we're massive fans of Braveheart, Dog Soldiers, and I'd say The Mummy is definitely
The Mummy is fucking one of perfect. My favorites. Yeah, it's such a good film. Yeah. It's a horny film as well.
It's a very horny film. Yeah. Everyone in that film,
all the leads are sexified.
Yeah, except for Benny.
I was about to say, especially Benny. Absolute heartthrob.
He's disgusted, isn't he, with his little funny little fez on.
I hope for his sake that they properly uglied him up for that role, and that wasn't, they just didn't chuck a fez on him and go, right, you're good to go, because that would be such a slam.
I was going to say, I'm buzzing, I'm so excited, but we're doing a lunchtime record, so it means we're not drinking, which usually means they're a bit more coherent, but we're a bit more like on it in terms of getting things done. But this weekend, we've got a boys' weekend away, which we haven't done in fucking ages.
Lads. Can't wait
for it. Because we have a lot of weekends away. I mean, we've had two. Mm. We've had like my birthday, Emma's birthday, but they've been collective with the ensemble of friends, and it's been like,
yeah, you know, it's not when it's just groups of lads only.
It's just lads only, baby. And I'm sure our female listeners will be the same. When it's just your group of friends, we don't have to be like the bridge between partners. Because even though all of our partners got on amazingly well, they all like, you know, they're all good friends, we still have to be like, you're with
we
your
all
partner.
Know it's
so
not the
be,
same, it's don't not we? The we all same. Know.
Everyone knows. A weekend with your mates is better than life itself.
It's insane. Let's just drop the pretense. It's better, right?
It's better, right?
Simple.
Yeah. Unless my wife's listening, then I hate going away with
in
the
which
boys.
Case,
I can't wait to be back home.
Waste of time.
You,
I'm only doing it because the boys want it. I'd rather be
I
at home.
I think it's
with my
silly.
Wife.
I think it's a bit silly spending that much money on booze.
The amount they drink on those trips is just silly.
It's just silly. Plus, have an unhappy home life. Yeah. It's just so silly.
I wanted to go to bed before 3, but they're just so silly. They want to stay up.
And what's so funny is we're off to go watch. We've now decided as a group we're going to try and like recreate what I did on my stag, which is go to lower league football stadiums and grounds, and because you can like usually drink in them and they're just a bit more fun, and like the game's gone to the dogs, isn't it? As Jack would say, who doesn't like anything about
football?
Oh,
don't even get me started, mate. Since Klopp's gone, am I right? Is that the thing?
Yeah. So like the Premier League, quite soulless. Championships, similarly. But so we've been to York, and now we're off to Banbury. In Oxford. I didn't realise how fucking far away Banbury is, man. It's like a 3-hour drive.
Where real football happens, isn't it? That's why we're going. It's where the real game happens. Like two Salt of the Earth players down there.
Just Salt of the Earth.
But
they're playing Saturday, but we're going up tomorrow night, which means Saturday's going to be an instant write-off. Because we're going to be on it like a car bonnet tomorrow.
It's always Saturday.
And
it's just
so
such a slow start, isn't it? Because we're all just like fucking rolling out of bed.
Yeah. Well, thick-headed. I'm also gutted because me and Josh are going to arrive probably about 3 hours after you. And those first 3 hours, oh, the best. You're going to be so giddy and excitable. And so
you've already said no one's allowed to have fun until you get there.
Yeah, if I see like a
something tells me we might not be able to stick to that, mate. I don't know. I'll try and keep them in line, but what can I do?
So today is Tuesday, and this is we're going up on Friday. I'm also off to London tomorrow to see work friends. We have like a company day on Thursday, so that's the day you should go in. Everyone's about to go into the office, but I'm going to go up tomorrow. It's just me and my friends, and we're going to go for a bit of a booze cruise. So I'm having a double booze cruise week. Well. Yeah, it's quite exciting.
I'm staying dry all week in prep, just because I don't even know the remote chance of me being a slimy.
Well, that's the thing. Thursday I'll be fine because I'll just be at home. And so I'll keep the keg dry, as if you will.
Indeed. Well, yeah, we last what we're doing this weekend. What did you get? Did you go up to much last weekend? Me and you both Christmas shopping, weren't we?
Yeah, we did.
We didn't bump into each other. No, we're in the same locale.
Yeah, I've been like a lot of time with other people. So me and Em wanted like a little weekend together. So I did my first roast of the season, and it was great. I was Emma's brother came over. Beautiful. And her sister-in-law, and I did this classic thing. Oh, you guys all go out. You guys go, and I'll just stay at home. I'll cook the dinner. It's all right. I don't mind. Poor old me. And they all went out, and I got to just drink curling and cook a really nice roast and play Xbox while they were gone. And I'm a bit of a seasoned pro at the roast, so I know how long it takes. So I can just, a lot of it, you're just waiting around, and it's all about timing.
Not your first rodeo, is it, mate?
Not my first. It was great. And then we watched Harry Potter. I did Azkaban this weekend.
Yeah. Some say the best.
It's my favourite so far. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
Disgusting when that fucking rat turns into what's his name? When he gets stuck in the
toilet. Yeah, Timothy Spall. And he does, you know when he does the thing where he escapes and he goes like bing on his head and he's like hee hee and he's like his little rat face turns in. Yeah. Gross.
That was pretty unsettling, but.
Apart from that, great weekend.
I thought it was really fun. Yeah, it's good, man. How was your booze crew? Because you and the wife got a bunch of bottles of wine in, didn't you?
Yeah, so for the listeners, my wife just decided there was some sort of deal on Tesco's at the moment. It's like 6 bottles of wine for a fucking tuppence or something like that. I don't know. And so my wife just, when the shop came, I was like, why is there 6 bottles of wine? She was like, oh, we're going to drink them on the weekend. We're going to have our wine and cheese night. And we were rating the wines to try and find our wine. Which like plonk to fucking get in consistently. But before that, we had to go Christmas shopping. And every single time I go physically shopping, like in person, it just reinforces my opinion of shopping, which is that it's shit. I hate it.
We were both in the same place. And I'm normally on your side. I fucking loved it on Saturday. We went to St. David's too. And all the Christmas lights were up. We didn't have anything specific we needed to get. We went around John Lewis. We went around M&S Food Hall, which is the best place on earth. And I was doing like getting the shop for the food, so I was quite happy. And then we went got a German sausage because it just appeared out of nowhere. The German market.
Yeah, that I swear that pops up earlier every year. Because I was thinking, not only is it here, it's it was huge. It seemed like it was huge this time. Like
but
it was
I'm
way
fully
bigger
on
than
board
usual.
With enjoying Christmas early because, like, I think after January and November fireworks night. You only have like 7 weeks till Christmas. So that's only, and if you're working, you only have 7 weekends. That's like 7 instances.
It tends to go very quick as well, doesn't it? Yeah. The last couple of years, when I'm just about starting to enjoy Christmas, is like when it's over. So also, I'm all for starting early.
And it's like, what don't you want? It looks pretty. There's pints. There's usually a hot dog kicking about somewhere, a couple of nuts roasting. Yeah. It's like, it's nothing but good time. So I think
want is for there to be no other people there, just me. Or potentially one or two others, including my wife and or friends. And that's it. Because that's what, at one point, we were walking through St. David's too, and like this woman with a pram just stopped dead right in front of me. Yeah. And I was like, I so want to just like bash my elbow into the back of your head and send you flying to the floor to be like, that's what fucking happens when you stop in the middle of a walkway. But no, society wouldn't let me do that, would they? I had to go and like do a little, you know, like that thing, like a cartoon where they go off, you know, where they go off like a cliff and they go whoop, 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 and they like stop themselves in the middle of there. I had to do that and then be like, oh, sorry. And it's like, and then I hate myself because I'm like, why the fuck am I saying sorry? It was her fault. Then we are tipping her pram over and kicking her in the shin and, you know, but It makes me rage-filled, and that's not what I want to feel at Christmas. That's not what Jesus died for.
Well, it's more stressful if you have to like do actual shopping, but if you're meandering, you can just enjoy the hither and thither.
I think that was an element of it, because we actually had like a schedule to keep to, so to speak.
Yeah, well.
So yeah, that
Because it's a lunchtime record, and I'm going to get inundated with emails, should we do our Patreon shout-outs and then crack on?
Patreon shout outs. Yes.
Have I caught you off
next
guard?
On the list is, I do have it up. It's just my Google Chrome has put it into resting, you know, where it's like it puts it into the ether and you've got to like recover it, the little tab. Right. Next is, oh, how apt that we're talking about Christmas. Next is a shout out to a guy named Lewis Claus. Mr. Claus himself.
Mr. Claus.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Sean Corn himself, Lewis Claus. Yeah. Or Claus.
Son of Mr. and Mrs. Claus. Oh, yeah. Claus?
Yeah. That's a good shout. That's a terrible for number.
Oh, yeah. Ich mag Christmas, ja.
Ich mag du, Lewis Claus. Das ist mir so gut.
Ich bin Lewis Claus. Lewis Claus ist mein Vater.
Jim is a little bit camp in it. Yeah, sehr gut, yeah.
I think it's just very easy to it only takes the slightest of nudges to turn it camp. I think that's why it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
999. Well, that's his naughty boy.
Well, it could be Lewis Claus. Yeah, Lewis Claus, Klaus. Like Santa Claus, or Lewis Claus. Hmm. Kitty got some claws. Yeah, and I am doing
so it could be Lewis Claus.
Yeah. Oh, this kitty.
Back to being camp again.
Oh, Lewis got das kitten has some einen Klaus claws, yeah. Schnell.
So there you are, Lewis. You're welcome, mate.
You're welcome, mate. Get involved, mate. Dirk, Lewis, you're a ledge. We appreciate Cheers, you dearly.
And then moving swiftly on, because we're on a small time frame, because it's a lunchy. So today I'm going to be talking about two of my favourite subjects, whales and alcohol, and how they've both mingled throughout history. I'm actually gutted that I'm not doing this one with a beer, because it's so apt, but maybe that's a fresh take in itself, isn't it? Mm. So anyway, as with pretty much any country of the world, alcohol has been present for a bloody long time. Wales is no different, with historian Russell Davis describing alcohol as, quote, the real opiate of the Welsh. There's a few numbers floating around, but generally, there's enough evidence to know that people in Wales have been making and drinking alcohol for at least the last 4,000 years. The earliest evidence of alcohol consumption is from China, and that goes back to 7,000 BC. So we love a bloody drink on this planet. Yeah. The species on the top knob species on this planet loves a bloody drink. Some historians think that we probably were drinking alcohol before 4,000 years ago, but it's just in terms of physical evidence, that's the earliest we've got in Wales. So starting with the Celts, those beautiful native boys and girls, they drank mead and beer back in the day. Beer, if you were a salt of the earth working class kind of guy. And
Talking
a nice chilled pint, no.
Yeah, unless they got chilled water, unless you cover that.
I suppose it's quite cold in Britain, isn't it? So if you just kept it outside, that would maybe do it. But in order to brew it, you have to be like kind of warm, you know, to get the yeast and stuff going. But anyway, so the working class boys back in Celtic times, they drank beer, Celtic beer. And if you were a hoity-toity elite, you drink mead. It's worth mentioning that if you haven't listened to our other episodes on Celtic stuff, that isn't actually how Celtic society really worked in terms of, hoity-toity's posh people and salt the earth working class. You did have lords and kings and stuff, and mead took more effort and more time to make. So basically mead was more expensive, so you'd only be able to really gorge yourself on that often if you had a king. I think I have, but years ago. I don't really remember it. I think I've only had it the once. Is it any good?
It's really nice. I bought some from like this little like delicatessen around by me, and I gotta say it was quite nice. So you just hear me stir my beans right now.
No more roasts for you, is it? Beans only from now on.
I'm back on like a bit of a health kick, and beans are well within my diet. So it's just give them a quick stir. I'm letting them...
The magical fruit.
I like to reduce them down to a thick beany sauce. And I know
to a broth.
One of our Patreon members, Kerry, she mentioned that her fear was beans, so apologies.
Turn off now, Kerry. Sorry. Should have done a pre-warning on this one. And a side note, sorry to steer it back to mead. Mead in Welsh is medd, and even though I didn't look this up, so I don't have any actual scientific backing for this, but that must be where meddwi comes from. Meddwi, which being the Welsh word for drunk. So I assume that has its roots from mead back in the day. Must be. like I said, I say that with no backing at all, but it's got to be, right? So, thanks to the Roman propaganda machine, many people considered the Celts a bit barbaric and a bit rough and tumble. And while they were ferocious fighters, they were a lot more civilized than the Romans gave them credit for. And they were even trading with the Romans, as well as other nations, before their invasion of Britain in 43 AD and the subsequent invasion of Wales in 48 AD. The Celts were great craftsmen, as we mentioned before on the pod. So they sold a lot of jewelry, fancy ornate armor, weapons, etc. But they also traded in alcohol, and apparently they loved Roman wine and would buy it in huge quantities when they got the chance. So you'd be pretty gutted if you were a wine drinker back in Celtic times when the war broke out, because not only do you have to like risk your life on the battlefield fighting Romans, you know you're not getting like a lovely like carafe of wine at the end because you're literally fighting against the people you bought wine from.
And then steal their supplies.
Oh, raid the stocks. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's something to fight for, isn't it? That's why we'd be there. Come on, boys, think of the alcohol. Because imagine the Celtic beer would have been pretty rough. Probably quite bitty, wouldn't it?
Bitty,
yeah. Wouldn't be very nice. But for all the grief the Romans caused ancient Britain, they did do us a solid once they'd taken over by building tabernas across the country. A taberna, where we get the modern word tavern from, was like a small shop where you could buy goods, services, and whatnot, but it was also one of the only places you could buy booze. So cheers for building the proto-pub, I guess, you Roman fucking dogs. But yeah, those after the Romans fucked off, the replacement invaders, the Angles, Saxons, Jutes, all them, they all piled in. And by the time the Anglo-Saxons had kind of formed, like all the races kind of come together, these taberna is the plural, they'd basically been converted to alehouses. So essentially every shop in any area is now switching to be a pub.
Love that.
That's what happened in Wales and in wider Britain. So great time if you were a pintsman back then. But alcohol specifically in Wales doesn't start to get much of a mention until around the 6th century. One of the earliest mentions of alcohol from this time are from old poems from famous bards like Taliesin, who wrote of the legendary enchantress Ceridwen, who would brew potions and intoxicating brews that could bring on inspiration in those that drank it, supposedly, if you believe the myths. So this was rooted in sort of folk tales and mythology and stuff like that, as well as actually happening for real. The Welsh triads, which are like old medieval manuscripts, noted history, folklore, mythology, whatnot, they go on about brewing grains and wheat, specifically naming Llonion, a place in Pembrokeshire, as the best place to harvest barley for making beer. And a place called Maes Gwenith in Gwent is the best place for harvesting wheat, and where the best bees live for making honey for mead. So while Wales certainly brewed their own beer, they also had their own Welsh-specific drink that the Anglo-Saxons mention in their Chronicle of 852. In the Chronicle, they make a point to differentiate between what they call ale and the Welsh braggart, or bragawd, as it would be called in Wales. Bragawd is apparently something between a mead and an ale, and included like a few extra ingredients in the brewing process, like cinnamon, ginger, clove, herbs, and honey. Bragawd was mostly produced in monasteries like Tintern Abbey in Chepstow and the Friary of Carmarthen.
Do you love how it's always the churches that make all the booze?
Yeah, you know, you find that a lot, don't you? When back in the good old days, it's the holy men brewing all the what you call it? It's like was that film Van Helsing where he's like a pisshead and he's a shagger, and they're like, but you're a priest. He's like, actually, I'm just a friar. Seems like friars had all the fun.
Yeah,
but this bragawd. His bragawd was actually such a staple in Wales that a Hoelfawr, the big boy himself, for those who don't know, was a big time king and lawmaker in Wales. Oh, we did an episode of him as well, so we'll have a look at that. He actually made a distinction in law, enshrined in law, between cwrw and bragawd, or beer and braggart. And bragawd was, by law, worth twice as much as beer at the time. So it was considered a finer taste type of thing. Beer was the cheap shit. You can actually still buy bragawd today, although it seems way less popular than normal beer or ales. I did try and look and see if I could find any. There's a few like Welsh companies who make it, but it's like it's not very popular. And if you search it, you're not going to find loads of hits. And just something, I think we should try it at some point. But something just tells me that it might be disgusting and rank.
I'm googling the photos of it, and it looks a bit shit. You can drink it at Untapped. You know, Crafty Devil, the pub in Canton.
Oh yeah.
It seems like people...
They do a brag out there, do they? A little brag out. Because, it's... I mean, honey beer, if you say it like that, it doesn't sound... That sounds quite sweet, maybe.
Honey but to the bees, that, that's you and me.
Exactly. And what was I going to say? The... the difference between... If it says it's like a between mead and ale, me and you aren't really ale boys anyway, are we?
No, not like, at
we
all.
We wouldn't go out and drink the ale.
Shit, yeah.
Is Doombar an ale?
I'll have Doombar. That's what I can actually
I'll
handle.
I'll have Doombar.
Yeah. Doombar. I just quickly Googled Honey to the Bee lyrics by Billy Piper. And one of the lines is, come on, buzz me up to heaven, baby.
What's that even mean?
The lyrics is, Billy. Come on, buzz me up to heaven, baby. Maybe we should drop that in here. So. Can I have a bit of
why not? If those haven't experienced Billy Piper's musical career, you're missing out. What's the other thing she used to do?
Because I want to.
Yeah, she was really quite the lyricist of her time. where was I? So, we should try brag at some time or brag out. But maybe it'll be gross. Who knows? So I don't know if we come across it. But it wasn't until 1854 when Welsh beer was described as having a distinct style, noting the recipe was made solely from pale malt and hops at the time. By the looks of things, by this point, the brag out seemed to have been kind of phased out. So I couldn't find a source to why people stopped drinking brag out or braggot. I imagine because it was a harder, lengthier process to brew. If you add all those extra ingredients, so they probably just went for the cheap shit, didn't they? Piss lager. They were onto the piss lager trend by then. And Wales, along with the rest of Britain, was affected by the temperance movement in the 19th and 20th centuries. This was a social movement promoting self-restraint and abstinence from alcohol consumption in order to prevent health and moral decay. Yeah, I was just about to say, basically the biggest, most boring group of virgins that ever stepped foot upon the earth, just trying to ruin everyone else's fun. And these party poopers, they managed to get a law passed in 1881 to ban the sale of alcohol in Wales on a Sunday. They literally killed the Sunday sesh.
Oh.
That's true pintsmen near the border.
One of the best pints. They could,
yeah. True pintsmen will know that that's a huge fucking blow to drinking culture.
A Sunday sesh is up there with one of the best sessions you can have.
It is, because you know you're not meant to. You know you're not meant to be out on a Sunday having a session. But yeah, so these fucking losers, they killed the Sunday sesh, took it out the back and shot it dead. The true pintsmen, though, that were near the border in Wales, they could actually nip over county lines, or country lines, rather, to have a pint in England. On a Sunday, because the once again a rule for me, and in England you could have a drink on a Sunday.
Well, it's because Wales was more pious. Wales was a lot more religious, and we've always been a bit more pious. Yeah, a bunch of dweebs. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, if you lived on the border, you could still keep the Sunday sesh alive, but you'd have to do it in merry old England. But yeah, the vast majority of Welsh folk, you had to just ride out Sunday dry, which sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, if that's standard, I suppose, is doing it dry. But I do love a Sunday sesh. As you well know, Franco, I'm a partaker of the hair of the dog on a Sunday if we've had a big Saturday. So, so those little boffins, they banned the Sunday sesh. And also, when do you think that this law was reverted?
Thought to like the 80s, man. Because like, I know Aberystwyth was one of the last places.
Mate, way after the 80s, the law wasn't repealed across the country until 2003.
Because I know not everywhere upheld it, but I know in Aberystwyth they were really strict on no Sunday drinking. So like students would, like my mum went to Aberuni and she was like, there's just no boozing at all on a Sunday.
That's just ghastly, isn't it? It's one thing banning a normal middle-aged, 30-plus-year-old from having a Sunday sesh. But a student, that's your lifeblood. That's your bread and butter. But yeah, 2003, I was shocked that 2003 was when it was repealed. It seems, like you said, something that they would have done away with in the 80s. But, you know, with cocaine on the streets and whatever, they would think, well, what's the point in stopping drinking on a Sunday?
Cocaine on the streets of Britain.
There's cocaine on the streets of Britain. Your sons and daughters are not safe.
There's cocaine on the streets of Britain tonight.
This is why no more cocaine on Sundays.
Best day for it.
So yeah, it sounds like I said, it sounds like some of these daft religious types would have done away with by then. I thought the 1960s or something, maybe, you know, especially. But yeah. Anyway, I've lost my place now.
Just having a big old stretch whilst you find your place.
Anyway, thank the gods that oppressive law was changed for what I think we can all agree is the greater good.
Yeah.
And since the 2000s, Wales has had a bit of a microbrewery boom that ranges from lagers and ales to gins, rums, whiskies, you name it. Not to say that these things haven't been brewed here before, just more and more people are doing it after the 2000s. Shout out to Bounty the Spice Rum for the fucking millionth time. Well, Just bloody sponsor us, for God's sake.
My friends in work, so we've recorded this in two parts because something went wrong the other day. So I think in the first part of this episode, I said I'm off to London for a sesh. I've now had that sesh.
I've returned from London.
Yeah, and I'm suitably hungover. But they bought me Bad TV for my birthday, but they also bought me a massive blow-up pillow of my face blown up on a pillow. And I
just saw that on your Insta, mate.
Well, I had to take it home on the train. There was no bag to put it in.
Some pissed narcissist on his rum. Rum in one hand, his pillow with his own face in the other.
Well, we drank a lot of the rum yesterday, so I feel happy today.
On your way back from the Great Londinium.
Yeah.
It's quite weird, this, now I'm doing a two-part. Are you getting both sides of the coin?
Yeah.
a pre-hangover and a post-hangover Franks.
Yeah. I'm yawning a lot more in the second half.
Yeah, just dull, mate. Just fucking dull. But yeah, so Bounty D, if you're listening, come on, just fucking cough it up. We've been fucking asking for how long we're doing this now? Almost 2 years.
Yeah,
come on. Beg? Do you want us to beg?
We will. I want my money, mummy.
Yeah, daddy needs his pocket money. Okay. So, yeah, that kind of brings us up to date on where we are today with booze in Wales. But I did have some quick-fire boozy Welsh facts before I finish. And I will start those now. I didn't type down a nice segue into that. Yeah, smooth. You never know. The first place to brew lager in the UK was Wrexham Lager.
Yeah.
Wrexham! Up the county. Wrexham Lager in 1882, recently purchased, actually, by Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, who also own the football club, of course. Third oldest club in the world. That's your sports segment there for everyone. But it's good, isn't it?
It's bloody lovely,
what's the word? Like, centralising the brand? Yeah. We own the football. Yeah. We own the beer. I saw on the episodes of the Welcome to Wrexham, they, like, bought out a little area in the town that was like, you know, was run down, and they were making it into like a kind of what's the equivalent over here, like, you know, like how you got, you know, like down the Tiger Bay, they got like Tiger Yard, was it called? They've sort of made it into that so that there's loads of foot traffic there, so that the shops and stuff will bounce back, or hopefully bounce back. So they're putting into the Welsh economy. It's nice to see, isn't it? Even if it takes like a couple of, well, the American and Canadian.
Yeah.
A couple of American Canadian boys doing more. They own bloody government. Mm-hmm. All right.
Before you go on with your quick fire quiz, or maybe we'll do this at the end, but we can give a shout out to some of the Welsh pints and drinks that we quite like, that other people might like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll reel them off after I've reeled these factoids off. Yeah. So I think we talked about this on our Welsh Facts episode, actually. Go check that one out as well. But the first brewery to produce and sell beer in cans was Welsh, the Velinvoyle Brewery in 1935. Now, I did look into this, and some sources say that this was actually done by the US company Gottfried Kruger in the same year. But I keep seeing different sources say different things. One came months before the other, or vice versa, yada, yada, yada. But as always on this podcast, I'm going to lean with heavy bias on the side of the Welsh. So I'm going to say Velinvol Brewery, they were the ones who cracked it first. They came up with the godlike tin that we all love today, and the first buggers to do it. And then the rest of this, these little facts I've got, these are from a report I got from 2010. I tried to find a sort of more modern version of this. So this is a good, 14 years old. Just take it with a bit of a pinch of salt. But I thought these facts were funny anyway.
Very funny.
And first up, this is a... Wales has... some of these are damning. Some of these are like humorous. Some of these are quite damning. Wales has one of the most serious drinking problems amongst people below the legal drinking age, with 54% of 15-year-old boys and 52% of 15-year-old girls saying they've been drunk at least twice. Ooh. Which... I was thinking, 15... We were probably more than that at 15, weren't we?
I was thinking we were rookie numbers.
Yeah, come on, you're letting the fucking side down. 15, yeah, I was having tins at 15.
We were, I'd say we started properly in earnest about 14, do you reckon? Or maybe...
Yeah, I think that was maybe... That still was, having a couple of cans at 14 was like a real novelty though, wasn't
it? You'd get like four cans of Woodpecker.
And, yeah, that's it.
And always, maybe you'd have four cans for the entire night.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. And then 15, it's sort of, that's when we started hanging around in our mate Gez's garage.
He was like the type
of parents that, like, I don't care what you do as long as you're safe and sort of, but don't do it in the house, go in an absolutely freezing garage and drink.
My mum had the same attitude. So she'd say, right, I don't mind you drinking, but I got to buy the booze for you so I know how much. But Gez's mum would do the same. So I'd get a flagon of cider from my mum and then get one from Gez's mum. Double up, baby.
What was the guy's name? The guy from the corner shop down there? I can't think of his name now. Gez was like on first name terms with him. I think he would actually sell him alcohol at like 14, 15. He wouldn't give a shit.
We used to buy cigarettes as well. 50p for a cigarette. Individual.
The glory days. Take us back, I say.
It used to be a country.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so just over half of both boys and girls. Like I said, 15-year-old, we were doing that more than twice, weren't we? We've been drunk more than twice at 15, definitely.
Fucking, like twice a month, maybe. We're fucking well hard, right?
Because we're cool. Fucking nutters. This is what's led us to our alcoholism today, all right? It wouldn't be here today without the foundations that we laid back then. A professor called Martin Plant, he suggested that you can actually categorize drinking cultures into two categories, wet and dry. So for context, dry drinking cultures, for example, like they have in Scandinavia, are characterized by low consumption per capita, harsh restrictions on sales, but they do allow for heavy drinking, usually save for the weekend. So like small periods of binge drinking. From what I gathered, in a dry drinking culture, you also don't associate boozing with other activities. So like you wouldn't assume that you're going to have a glass of wine or a bottle of wine with your meal or a pint with it. You know, you wouldn't say, oh, we're going out to, I don't know, some sort of event. You wouldn't just assume that booze is to do with it.
Yeah.
Whereas in direct opposition to that, a wet drinking culture, which is found a lot over Southern Europe, that involves high consumption through the week, coupled with enabling attitudes and legislations. So Wales, So that's what I was on about. And then, you know, like how me and you, if we were going to do basically almost anything, I'd say out the house, that's going to last a few hours.
Yeah.
You go, well, we'll have a pint, won't we, with it. You
that's
know?
Why I went off match day in town for rugby, because people aren't there for the rugby. They're there to just have a massive piss up, which is fine. But then it does kind of...
I was just say, far be it from us to judge for that. But
yeah, but it means then you're not really watching the rugby. I do that with the football. There was a period when me and a lot of my friends would go to the football, and we're not actually there for the football anymore. We're there just to get fucking smashed. And a lot of us have kind of cooled down on that, because it's like you forget the game. You're not really prioritising the game. You're always going down to the bar at halftime, so you get there early to avoid the queue. And so like it does kind of detract from football being fun.
Yeah.
So
that's it. Well, this is be nice that, it's very much this classic wet culture attitude, that is, mate.
Yeah.
And Wales, which this is kind of a point of bizarre pride when I was reading this. Wales, always striving to push ourselves to be the best. We pick the booziest elements of both culture types, and we have actually what's called a hybrid drinking culture, where as a nation, we don't mind drinking through the week. We'll absolutely drink in the week. And when we're doing activities and things like that. Yeah. But there's also a very strong culture of binge drinking on the weekend as well and on special occasions. So we're wet and dry in the booziest kind of ways. Yeah. So we picked like the binge drinking of the dry cultures and just thought, why don't we wet and dry, do the best of both worlds?
We're classic bingers, aren't we? We don't really drink much in the week.
No, I mean, if we're doing a pod one in the evening, we'll have a few, won't we? Yeah. But yeah, I don't tend to get drunk in the week. That's my barometer for why I'm not an alcoholic, because I don't drink in the week. Yeah, so it's
save
fine.
It. Go hard on
I say save up my unit and then fucking go nuts on Friday and Saturday. I say go nuts. We don't really go nuts when we're drinking, do we? We just have a laugh. We're just sort of subdued.
Your Honour.
Your Honour. Listen, I wouldn't say we go nuts. It's just a laugh. So what, we set that tramp on fire? I think we can all agree. It was a laugh.
It was a merry hijinks.
What I mean is, it sounds like I'm saying like we go nuts. It's like fucking smashing places up and stuff. We usually just sat down chin wagging, aren't we?
Such yappers. And, absolutely.
We don't change much when we're in pubs either, do we? Just have a yap-yapathon.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our little hybrid drinking culture. And pride aside for that, there's a more damning statistic here. This is a little bit more rougher than that 15-year-olds one I was on about. So amongst 11-year-olds, 7% of boys and 4% of girls said they drank alcohol at least twice a week.
Whoa.
That stat rises to 23% for boys and 20% for girls when they reach 13. So 13, that's quite young, but 11-year-olds on the sesh twice a week.
Yeah,
I don't usually have a big sesh twice a week. I mean, what sort of sesh are we talking about? That's first.
Well, I think any sesh for a child is probably considered
for 11 years old. Yeah. Imagine 11-year-olds doing what we do. You know, when we go like, oh, did you have a drink this weekend? No, I didn't have anything. Yeah. Oh, I had like five. But that's not a real sesh. I've had a bottle room. I've barely touched size. Imagine like 11-year-olds. Oh, you've been on it this weekend? Nah, I only had a couple of cans, five cans. You know, about my approximate body weight in alcohol.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, so that's a bit damning, 11-year-olds. This is 14 years old, mind this report. So maybe things have improved since then. Let's hope.
Probably not.
But like I said, it's just bad parenting, that, isn't it? If your 11-year-old is on a boozing sesh twice a week.
Yeah, but they might have problems as well. You know, they might be alcoholics, and it is a disease, actually, Jack. So it would be
give all the kids fucking booze, is it? It's issue all the 11-year-olds with a bottle of vodka every week.
Reasons why. And is you, the champagne socialist, trying to hearken down?
Yeah.
I love that.
You Nazi? Yeah. You goddamn Nazi. It's
socialist.
Where was I? Oh, my last bit now is finally on pub rules in Wales that I thought were interesting or just very specific. So these days, of course, there's a ban on what's dubbed as irresponsible alcohol promotions, RIP Jumpin' Jacks, where we'd often go in our youth for unlimited drinks for a tenner. Gone are those days. As you said before, we used to be a country. Yeah. That's
probably
really not
coming down on the side of the alcoholics here, aren't we?
We are a bit, Just to iron this out once and for all, I do not think that 11-year-olds should be on the piss twice a week. Okay,
it's not like a politician wants to make a statement in his
garden.
I've
said it. Yeah, I have been clear. I have been very clear. My statement was very clear.
I've always said from the start, it's not ideal. Yes, I called them fannies for not drinking more.
Earlier in the podcast, I may have said that the abstinence movement was a virginal movement, but I stand firm on what I just said.
Yeah, we grow anyway, in this party.
Yes, exactly. Where was I? Oh, yeah, so Jumpin' Jacks, that's those sorts of like ridiculous, boozy promotions. They're banned now, which isn't surprising because some of the states you'd see people in Jumpin' Jacks by the end of the night, ourselves included. We're insane. I had a fight with a girl one time and got thrown out. It wasn't a fight, by the way, before the fucking papers come for me again.
You just said, I had a fight with a girl. It wasn't a fight, by the way. I don't know who's saying that.
It makes it sound like the fisticuffs and everything. She basically slapped the shit out of me. She cut my eyeball with a little fucking acrylic nail. Yeah, but don't dress like that, isn't it?
don't say that.
Oh. It's satire. And yeah. The joke is, imagine someone saying that for real.
Yeah,
can't remember why she started slapping the shit out of me.
She was mad. I remember she clawed someone else as well. Like, the bouncer tried to grab her and she clawed.
And the bouncer just said, it was a blanket rule. It was like, you're involved with a fight, you're out.
Yeah. And I was like, and then that means you just both outside, so you just have a fight
Yeah,
outside.
I did think that. And that's when I fucking decked her out the front. Then.
Yeah, 1-0.
No. We just went our merry way. She realised in the cold light of day that I wasn't the person she thought she was, and she just said sorry for scratching my eye.
Yeah.
I think you guys were the best friends in the world as well. And I don't think you saw me off, did you? You just let me get checked out and, like, on your own.
I have a rule on nights out. If he dies, he dies. And
yeah.
And you're left your own.
What do they say in the army? Leave a man behind.
Always
leave a man behind if it's going to impact your night.
Yeah. Oh, God. So anyway, was rough, wasn't it? There's so many fights.
It was really rough, yeah. And it was full of, like, underage people like us because it was so lax on people, like, getting people in. I still don't know how they could have afforded it unless, like, what they were giving us would have just been, like, fucking, I don't know, diesel runoff or something like that. It's just grim.
Well,
anyway,
you yourself, maybe well, this is a reminder, but you yourself were a small distillery for a while, weren't you?
Oh, I was, yeah. So in my uni days.
Jack has added to this proud Welsh tradition of microbreweries, and you made homemade vodka that was probably criminal and incredibly lethal, and you sold it to the local teenagers in St. Athan.
Well, because I come home from uni and my brother would be like, oh, can you get me booze? And I was like, or you can
make my you booze?
A special brew that I've come up with. And I was selling it in, like, cleaned out like 2 liter Coke bottles.
Yeah. It was, wasn't it?
Oh, it was disgusting. It was really, really, even if you mixed it with, like, Coke and stuff, it'd still cack the back of your throat, wouldn't it? It wasn't very nice. But these kids, what other option did they have? I cornered the market, didn't I? So,
dangerous homemade vodka to teenagers.
It was like, do you want to go to the Londis for me and do all that? I was like, oh, just take some of this. Originally, it was like, it cost me about 50p a bottle to make. It was so cheap. So I was like, quid up. Well, what I did is, like, it was like a schnapps kit you made, right? You're allowed to brew anything. I think it's like under 20% or something like that, or 18% or something like that. And then you've got to buy this, like, I can't remember what the hell it's called now. But basically, it's something you're not allowed to sell in, like, a brew shop, right? As what it is, a distiller. Is that it? I can't remember. But anyway, you're not allowed to sell it like that. So the people who run these, like, brewery shops, they have to say, oh no, it's a water purifier. But everyone knows you're going, oh, I need a water purifier. You know, they do the little tap on the nose and they go, I see what you're
after. It's like when, like, Blue Banana sell bongs, and it's like, oh, it's just for smoking tobacco. It's like, yeah, right, mate.
Yeah, promise you won't put anything else in it. And that's what they did to me. Promise you use this just for distilling water. I was like, exactly, of course I will. But yeah, I sold it for, like, I think £2 a bottle, which is insanely irresponsible. and then when they came back, though, I realized I could hike up the prices because, you know, it's like a heroin dealer. You get the first one cheap. First one's free. And then I was like, oh, it's a fiver now. And they were like, oh, fiver? It was two last time then. So I just prized those 16-year-olds out of there. I'd earned cash. Yeah, but then that ran out. I couldn't be bothered to do any more after the first batch. And it did just taste horrible anyway. It wasn't much enjoyment out of it.
I had, and it really was like, you can usually mask bad booze with, like, mixer, but this was just it fucking melted the cup it went into.
Yeah, it was grim. It was very grim. But yeah, so that was my foray into the booze business. I haven't been back since. anyway, where was I? So yeah, rules in pubs. Sorry, so I'd said that Jumpin' Jack's places, big promotions and stuff, they've been fucking kiboshed. And along with this was part of the same law, how it got put into law at the same time. Curiously specific, it's banning the dispensing of alcohol directly into the mouth, also known as the dentist's chair.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like in, like abroad, they do it. You know, they just, like, literally put the little, they got, like, a pouring thing, haven't they, in the bottle, and they just pour it down your gullet. That's been banned in Wales. You can't do that in a pub in Wales, not legally anyway. But I thought I was awfully specific. Was that I don't remember that being all the rage.
No, not me really. Although when I have had it done to me. In the pub in Canton again, where you sit on a stool, and if you say it's your birthday, they give you a top shelf, but they free pour it into your mouth. It's fucking horrible.
Well, can't get away with that shit in Wales, mate. Tell you that now. Tell you that for nothing.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, this partly due to deter the over-the-top consumption games, like you see when you go abroad, as I mentioned. But also apparently a hygiene issue, because they don't want the pour in here, your gob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, not as interesting when I'm reading out now. When I put that in, I was like, oh, that's a good little fact. Anyway, that's my quick rundown of boozing in Wales.
Well, can I add
I'm not
some...
drinking myself, which is very sad.
Can I add... Well, we are going to be tomorrow. I'm fucking buzzing for
that's
tomorrow,
true.
Man.
Cannot wait for tomorrow.
I got pretty boozed last night, but I stopped drinking about 9, or about 10-ish. Mm. So, like, I had, like, a long enough sleep, so I actually don't feel complete misery today. And then tomorrow, we're off for a big old booze for the whole weekend. But I thought we'd give a shout-out to some of the local, or some of the Welsh drinks that we like. So, obviously, Captain Abadie, the best. It's just the best of the best.
Of course, yeah.
Do we say the ones we don't like, or is that a bit harsh? Because we got quite a bit of following. We don't really want to slag people off, maybe. That might be a bit unfair. All right, let's be positive.
Yeah.
Let's not be... Yeah.
Let's be positive, yeah.
There are some that we think are dog shit, but we'll keep that to ourselves. Abba Falls is like a really cheap... really affordable, not cheap, really affordable. It does whiskey, but it also does gin. The gin's like really nice. It does like loads of flavoured gin. So it's Abba Falls.
I mean, Sean's a big Abba Falls boy, isn't he? Likes his gin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one called Brecon Gin, which is really nice. That's the one I often get people as like a present.
It's
like
what my darling Nana used to drink. Oh, really? God rest her soul.
Oh, God rest her soul. Penderin, we don't really drink it.
We're not whiskey boys, are we, really? Have you tried the rum that they do? It's called Siddiqui rum.
No, I haven't. We were offered some Penderin stuff, weren't we, by Penderin, but never materialised.
Yeah, they never got back to us. So if
what did they say? They were like, oh, do you want some bottles? We were like, yeah. Then they just went, bye.
Absolute, yeah, radio silence since then.
So mad.
Mate cannot deliver to mailbox getting back every time, yeah.
Hensel gin is also really nice, and Gua, I think it's GWYR, is nice. And then we don't like the pints, but one of the best, like the most popular brewing companies, Tiny Rebel, which people love outside of Wales.
Yeah.
It's just not
for us.
They
won loads of awards, didn't they? Yeah.
Lost Lager, that's nice. That's a good pint, which is, that's Brewdog, I think. So take that back.
That's Brewdog, yeah. I don't mind that Club Tropica from Tiny Rebel. Oh. That's okay. I can drink a bit of that. It's just what happens is after like about 5 of them, you get like a film on your tongue. And it's just got like a little bit of thing on it for me. So not for me, although it's good for getting pissed.
I'm aware that we're in the minority of not liking tasty drinks, but as I said to people yesterday, my requirement for pints is cold and wet. That's all I want. I want wet cold.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be like fizzy or sour. I just want it to taste freezing and be wet. And that's it.
Yeah, I think that we need it like non-offensive. Like we say, when we say piss lager, we don't mean it tastes like piss. We mean like
we don't mean it tastes
weak
piss,
piss
guys,
lager.
Come on.
You know? Yeah, if anyone's thinking that, that's not what we're saying. But it's, yeah, you just want it to taste like your bog standard lager, don't you? You don't want it to, be too...
Well, should we wrap up? We've got to go do a Patreon episode now for our dear Kelly Heaton. So we'll do that. And bye. Leave us a review if you can, please, guys. Tell your friends, bye.
Ta-da, ta-da.